Have you ever watched someone praying and longed to have the same experience of God which he or she obviously had? Plenty of people pray, in all the religions of the world, I suppose. And even in our own secular society, skeptics and doubters pray from time to time. But how many of us pray meaningfully? How many of us pray consistently? How many of us enjoy praying? Is prayer for you rather like an emergency service, like telephoning people who care? When Jesus gave his disciples the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, he gave it as a form of words we could use, the family prayer for Christians throughout the ages, and as a guide to how we should form our own prayers, the sort of things we should be saying to God, the sort of prayers that are acceptable to God, the sort of prayers that God answers. Those are the things we need to know if our prayers are to be meaningful, consistent, and enjoyable. And so, over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about the Lord's Prayer and the various things that Jesus teaches us in that prayer about our own prayers. Now, the first secret of true prayer which Jesus gives us is revealed in the opening words, Our Father in Heaven. Prayer that is honouring to God and effective expresses a special relationship with God. When Jesus addressed God in prayer, he used a special word, Father. As a matter of fact, the original word that Jesus used, Abba, is a word that's preserved in the New Testament. It was such a special word that the early Christians wanted to preserve it and to remember it. As far as we know, from all the literature on prayer in the ancient world, no one else ever addressed God in such an intimate way, with such a personal title. Dear Father is what it means. And Jesus spoke with God as a child speaks with a loving father, simply, intimately, securely. Yet in that simple term, a great mystery is revealed, the mystery of his relationship to God and of his mission to the world. Listen to Jesus at prayer. Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, that the Son may give glory to you. For you gave him authority over all men, so that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. And this is eternal life, for men to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I showed your glory on earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. O Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made. Jesus is the unique Son who existed with the Father before the world was made. And he is the one who alone can perfectly reveal God to us. He's the one who alone can give us eternal life. The way he prays reveals all those things to us. And the way we pray reveals a great deal about the way we think, the way we think about God, the way we think about ourselves. It reveals the sort of relationship we have with God. Ask yourself, are you very distant and uncertain in your prayers? Does God seem far away? Does prayer hardly seem worthwhile? How do you address God in prayer? Jesus encouraged us to use the same word that he used in speaking to God. He encouraged us to call God Father. And that's a remarkable thing. He encouraged us to share somehow in his relationship with God. And that's not simply the secret of effective prayer. It's the secret of true Christianity, learning to relate to God as the dear Father. On another occasion, Jesus said, Unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Become like children. Yes, that means thinking about God, relating to God as a dear Father, just in the way that Jesus did when he prayed. And so when we pray, we have to express the reality of that relationship with God which Jesus is calling us to enjoy, that relationship with God as Father. Your personal prayer should be intimate and conversational, like a son or daughter addressing a loving father. There's no reason why you shouldn't pray at all times. You don't have to necessarily be kneeling down beside your bed. You don't even necessarily have to have your eyes closed. You can pray when you're going to work or when you're working in the garden or whatever you're doing. And there's no reason why you shouldn't bring all the affairs of life to him in prayer, however small or insignificant they may seem to you. After all, if he is your loving father, as Jesus suggests, then you can cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. And when you feel you can't pray at all, when you feel so choked up by guilt or fear or anxiety, then just come and say, Father, just that word. And perhaps say it over and over again, Father. And begin to think of what it means. Begin to think of Jesus calling God Father, and of Jesus inviting us to call God Father. Begin to think of God caring for us, knowing what our needs are, wanting to help us, wanting to love us. Just call God Father, and then go on and tell him the things that are on your heart. Tell him the things that you know that you really need. The first secret of effective prayer is to learn to call God Father and to relate to him as the dear Father. The second secret of true prayer which Jesus gives us in the Lord's Prayer comes from the words, Hallowed be thy name. Strange words, aren't they? May your name be honored, is what they mean. Prayer that is honoring to God and effective seeks his glory above all else. In the Bible, the name of God stands for the person or the whole character of God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. He's righteous and holy. And yet he's merciful and loving. That's what God is like. And as we say those words, as we describe him in that way, we're describing his character. So to take God's name in vain means to take his character in vain. It means to fail to honor him as God in our words or in our actions. And that's the great failure of mankind. We fail to take God seriously. We're not concerned to know what he's like. We're not concerned to do what he wants us to do. We're prepared to leave him on the sidelines. But Jesus is telling us that we should pray that God's name or God's character may be hallowed, may be honored, in our lives, in the lives of our family and friends, and in our society. And this is quite extraordinary when you think about it, because our lives are full of anxiety and temptation and trouble, and when we come to God in prayer, we're so often looking for a solution to our problems and seeking help for our needs. And yet Jesus tells us that our first concern in prayer should be for God to be glorified. Now how can this be? How can I do this when my mind's so full of my own concerns and my own needs? Listen again to Jesus at prayer. This time, the night before he was crucified, when he was in the garden, and he went a little further away from his disciples and threw himself on the ground and prayed that if possible he might not have to go through the hour of suffering. Father, he prayed, my Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I want, what you want. There he expressed openly his heartfelt need and his fears. He wanted to escape, if possible, from the hour of suffering, and he told that to his Father. And yet at the same time, he said that he wanted God's will to be done above all else, even if it did involve suffering. And there's the secret. We must tell God what's on our hearts. We must tell him our needs and our fears openly. And yet at the same time, we must do what Jesus did and ask that his will might be done, that he might be glorified. And so our prayer should not only be personal and trusting and intimate, bringing all our concerns to our Father. They should be seeking for God to be glorified, and we should pray for God to work in us by His Spirit to change us, to make us more the kind of people He wants us to be, so that we can be glorifying to Him in our lives. O God, You have taught us to call You Father. Help us to come to You just as easily and just as confidently as we come to our closest friend, sure that You're always ready and willing and able to help. But give us also the gift of reverence, so that we may remember that no matter where we are, You see our actions and You hear our words. Show us how to honor You as God in our prayers and in our lives. For Jesus Christ's sake.